Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Mark 12, 29 and 30 says, Jesus answered him, This is the first of all commandments. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Matthew 22, 37, Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Luke 10, 27, So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Now you are probably thinking, he's going to be preaching on oneness or one God or God in Christ or something. But I'm not. I'm going to try to impart to you what God has placed on my heart about the mind of Christ. Did you notice a difference in the translation between the Hebrew in 6:4 of Deuteronomy and the three messages or the three verses in the New Testament? What word was included in all of the three New Testament verses that were not there, that was not there in Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5? Love with all your mind. Now, why is that? You know, the first translation of the Bible was the Old Testament being translated to Greek. And the translators, they had a hard time when they came to this verse. Because how could they, with one word or one part of the sentence, translate what the Hebrew said with all your heart? Because to love God with all our heart is, per the LXX translation, Septuagint, simply a metaphorical way of saying that we should love God with our understanding, our mind, as opposed to how modern readers might think. And these are the Greeks writing this. That was modern to them, 300 BC. To love God with our heart or our emotions. There's a difference. We very often, in our culture, we think of heart basically as a center of our emotions, our feelings, how we assess in that sense. And that is all valid. That is a part of it. But where's the mind concept? Why did the word have to be added in the New Testament? Because the Hebrew, what it means to love God with all your heart, is so much deeper than just Greek heart can convey. They need to add the mind because there's a dimension here that is higher. Now, I have enough verses to probably teach 16 sessions throughout the weekend. I will try to the best of my ability to even call on the altar early. But I have something that is so strongly on my heart that I believe is crucial and necessary, especially for this end time. Because we need to be worshiping God with our minds. We need to engage with our understanding. I know that as Pentecostals and apostolics, we enjoy the emotional. I am very emotional. I cry so easily. And I love the feelings. I love the goosebumps, the holy goosebumps. But sometimes it's hard for us to separate what's emotional and what's spiritual. Sometimes we come in, we're so used to going through the motions that we are coming here and we're trying to get our spiritual / emotional fix like a shot into our veins so we can feel good for the rest of the week. In Hebrew, the center of our understanding, our thought processes, our feelings, the whole spectrum of reason was regarded as being centered right here in your gut, in your kidneys. Well, where do we have proof for that? Well, Proverbs 23. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart. Job 38, verse 36. And we'll do this both in the New King James and the Old King James original. Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? and or who hath given understanding to the heart, the New King James, who has put wisdom in the mind instead of the inward parts, or who has given understanding to the heart. Jeremiah 17:10, New King James. I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind. Now, what is that word for mind? It is the seat of the emotion, the affection. It is in the kidneys, in the soul, in the heart, right here. It's the same center. So if you are a Jew who worships God, if you're going to worship with all of your heart, that means both your feelings and your understanding. Deliberate, intentional worship that goes beyond how you just feel. That's why they had to say in the New Testament, you need to worship with all your heart and all your mind, because they didn't have that word in Greek. Now, what does that mean? What does that imply? Well, that means that we cannot just base our journey, our Christianity, on our emotions. We cannot yoke what we regard as faith to how we feel. It goes beyond that. How many here that have prayed in this altar have felt like your faith was low because you didn't feel it? How many have gone out into this world speaking to colleagues and suddenly you don't feel it, so you hold back what you know to be true? That's because in this modern age and as a Western civilization, and you find this in many parts of the world, basically outside of Judaism, if you don't feel it, you don't do it, because we have yoked faith and feelings together. And I have been so guilty. If I felt condemnation, if I felt shortcoming, if I didn't feel right, then I would not witness. Then I would not speak. Then I would not pray for someone in the altar, because I didn't feel like I was worthy. Even though the word of God says, for there is no condemnation for he that is in Christ Jesus. If you have been repented, you've been baptized, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, you have everything you need, if you have repented, to activate every single promise that is in the Word of God. But what do you do if you don't feel it? Well, I guess we have to worship Him with all of our mind to know that in this moment, in this time, right now, I am called by God to speak, to do what He sees, I will see. What He knows, I will know. What He does, I will do. Because I know, regardless of how I feel about myself, my shortcomings, my mistakes, my past, all of those things, they do not matter, because I know that He has said it. And if I am going to obey the Shema, hear, O Israel, I need to engage with my mind. Hallelujah. My mind, hallelujah. Sometimes we read over some of these verses and we don't even think about what they're actually saying. Romans 7:25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You need to choose it. It's a choice, independent of your feelings, independent of your carnal nature. Because you have felt His presence and you've been called by God, you know the truth, so you choose it. With the mind, I serve the law of God. Next chapter, Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, what is the difference between carnally minded and spiritually minded? Your choice. Your choice. If you are to worship and serve the Lord with all your mind, you choose to obey the law of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. For he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have it. It's imparted to you. It is accessible to you. The moment you bent your knees, you repented, went down in the water, and were filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus and his mind became a part of you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And who knows this one? Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The Norwegian translation there says spiritual service. This is your spiritual service. The choice you make presenting yourself is a spiritual service. Accessing the mind is not just a rational thing that is counter to the spiritual. God has given us this brilliant mind for a reason. To be used for His glory. To give us the tools we need to override the fluctuations of our emotions that can be so not trusted. Now, how many here has experienced that you perceived or heard a rumor or saw yourself or misread something that it would seem that someone else betrayed you? How many has felt betrayed by someone? Those feelings rise up in you. Those are real. But how many have also then found out later that you misunderstood? Or that the person that conveyed the rumor was not telling the truth or had misunderstood themselves, or you read too much into the situation. Did that revelation make the reality of the previous emotions less real? No. We feel those very genuinely. But it shows us that our emotions and the heart part of our heart cannot be trusted. So our mind needs to be activated and engaged. So verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When was the last time your mind was renewed so that you could assess exactly what that perfect, acceptable will of God was? God has given you the tools. But if we are waiting around for how we feel, we could be waiting a very long time. When David or Jeremiah were lamenting in the Old Testament, their feelings were at the bottom low. Was God apart from them? Was God any less with them in this situation? Not at all. But again, if their minds had been able to override their feelings, then their faith would not have plummeted to the lows that we can find in all of these lamentations. I'm guilty. Romans 15 and 5. Now may the God of patience, comfort, the God of patience and comfort, grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Jesus Christ, that you with one mind and one mouth glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not just an individual mind that we're talking about. This is the same mind that's accessible to all of us, that we are supposed to come together in unity. So we can all pull in the right direction. That means us individually taking collective responsibility of worshiping God with all of our minds to override those fluctuating emotions. But that requires responsibility, maturity as a Christian to make those decisions. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Ephesians 4, verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Do we have a part in making that equation go up? We need to choose. Choose to let the renewed spirit of our mind take place so we can live in righteousness and holiness. As you know, I am emotional. But I also realize those cannot be trusted. Now, I love it when the Spirit of God just moves and just even slays people all in order. The rush of emotions that goes through my body when I feel the presence of God, it is the best feeling I know. But I also know, regardless of how good that feeling is, my faith in who I am in God should not be yoked to it. Because my body, my physical body, cannot handle and process a constant exposure of that kind of glory and power. Did you know that being in love, as we call it, that euphoria we feel, only lasts about 6 to 18 months, and then your body shuts it down? Do you know why? Because our bodies cannot physically handle the exposure of the release of those hormones in our bodies. So when people fall in and out of love, that chemical reaction, that's because your body can't handle it. And for some of us, that's our relationship with God. We fall in and out of love with God. How much sometimes we feel Him, sometimes we don't. And we think, oh, God has left me. God has abandoned me. No. Because I can tell you right now, I have not spoken with Sister Steinman before I'm going to say this. But regardless of how she feels, if the word goes forth, the message in tongues, her mind knows immediately what's going on. Regardless of how good of a bad day she had, how she feels, if her body is ill. And so many of you can relate. You know that sometimes you just do it, just like parenting. Doesn't matter if you have a good day or a bad day, you just do it. Well, when it comes to our even more important responsibilities of living for God, engaging with our mind is of utmost and crucial importance. Hallelujah. We're doing good. We're doing good. We're actually going faster through these verses than I thought we would. Hallelujah. Amen. Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on earth. Now, whose choice is that? You choose. Most of us drive vehicles. Have you ever tried to look for a prolonged period of time a different direction than the one you're going in? I promise you, you will swirl. Where your focus is, where your mind is, your entire operation will follow. Now, the choice is yours. Now, this is practical. A subtitle to my message was Hidden Secrets to Practical Christianity. And then towards the end, we're going to come for the warfare of our time. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me get back to my notes. Now, so what is this mind? How is it manifested? How can you express that mind? How can you live that mind? What are the tangible things that we can perceive? What is this mind of Christ that He has given us, that we are to choose and we have accessible to us and are supposed to be in unity with? What is this mind? One of the favorite passages of Scripture, according to Alex, is Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, sometimes I just like to read entire parts of Scripture because the Bible can say it so much better than I can. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death at the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those in earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. A few more verses. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering, meaning dying, on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. That's the mind. Well, that's a high standard to reach. But that's the bar. Looking out for others' interests more than we look out for ourselves. Always keenly assessing whose need we can fill. Being the representative of Christ. That is the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. How did Jesus react to each situation? Now, it wasn't all mushy. He took very good time to tie together a beautiful little whip that he could whip out the people in the temple. Cleaned out his father's house. So it's not about being some soft, mushy, always gentle, even though those are very important attributes. But it's about realizing the full spectrum of Jesus' identity and deliberately and intently apply those to your own life. That God can be revealed through you. Because sometimes we sell ourselves short. Because we let our feelings get in the way. Our doubt, our past, our circumstances. And it could be a whole range of circumstances. It could be those that are the attack of the enemy. It could be the attack and friction among other people, colleagues, co-workers. It could be the ones that are the ones of your own making. Consequences of your own, sometimes ignorant and stupid decisions. I've made my fair share of those. I testify. But my choice to apply the mind is of crucial importance if I am to have a successful walk as a Christian, where all the giftings that he has given. Because here's the thing, and this is where sometimes I get a little angry, because God has given you unique giftings. There are places only you can go. There are people only you can talk to. There are places only you can reach. There are giftings only you have that God has ordained you to release, not only in his body for the edification and furthering of the body, but in this world, So when you sell yourself short, when you choose to restrict yourself, you are holding back what God has chosen to bless the world with. And you are the one, not the devil, that is disallowing the gifting of God in your life to shine forth with the splendor and awesomeness that he has called you to fulfill for a time such as this. When the darkness gets darker, the light will shine brighter. Don't put your light under a bushel, but let it shine freely. Know who you are in Christ and choose it. In spite of and regardless of all that has happened until this point, today is a day of salvation. Now, what does that mean? In practical Christianic terms, that means today is a day of salvation. And I am living in that promise today by choice. Regardless of how I feel, regardless of the circumstances in my life, I choose to stand and worship the one God I love with all my heart, but also with all of my mind. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. A few more verses and then the last part, which will not take long. Hallelujah. The wonderful pastor that raised me in Norway taught me to not use "and with this I close" more than once. Hallelujah. How many has been victim of 12 "with this I close"? And 45 minutes later, in a testimony. Hallelujah. Praise God. God wants us to be happy. Hallelujah. Philippians 3:14. I press toward a goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. That's a promise. Take it literally. If you don't know, God's going to reveal it to you. If you're a mature Christian, choose to have his mind. He will reveal it to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll skip a couple of verses because 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, do we take that literally? Like, I happen to believe that the Word of God is inerrant. Hallelujah. I believe it with my whole heart. And I have defended it with apologetics around the world. But I take this literally. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. That is our choice. Be sober. That is also our choice. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I take that promise literally. Hallelujah. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Again, our choice. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you. And that finally, that was Peter, that was not me. All of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Choice. And his lips from speaking deceit. Choice. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Choice. Let him seek peace and not and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Hallelujah. And his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Hallelujah. Hebrews 4 and 12, last verse of part 2 out of 3. And the last, I promise, will be short. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. There again, Judaistic remnant in the Greek. The thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That's where it is. That's where it's at. Practical Christianity. There is a war on our mind going on these days. And there was a war in your mind before you were called. Just like Colossians 1 and 20 says, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. Your past, before you came to Christ, before you repented, before you were baptized, before you were filled with the Holy Ghost, there was a war on your mind. The BC war before Christ. Now, I'm not saying that there's no battle and fight on the other side, but there was a special war. You were delivered from that war. God delivered you from the war of your mind, of your past. That doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't exist. It is in the sea of forgetfulness. If God doesn't remember it, you should neither. I take that literally. When I try to confess again for sins that I've already confessed, I believe God is just saying, I don't know what you're talking about. Hallelujah. Even if I don't feel forgiven, how many has experienced that? You know you repented, but you don't feel forgiven yet. So you're going to lash on yourself a little bit like a good old Catholic in the Philippines and get on a physical cross and be crucified in an Easter play. No. It doesn't matter how you feel. If you have repented, you are forgiven. Hallelujah. So, Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. Now, I believe we live in the end times. In verse 25, it says of Daniel chapter 7, and he shall speak great words, speaking of the Antichrist, against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand, they being the Christians, the believers, the saints, until a time, times, and dividing of time. He shall wear out the saints. Now, what does that word mean? Wear out. It is Aramaic, bela. And what does it mean? To wear away, to wear out, to harass constantly, used only in a mental sense. Yes, there will be physical manifestations of trials and tribulations, but that's not what that is talking about. As the Antichrist is gaining influence, as the world is getting worse and worse, as the darkness becomes thicker and thicker, he is harassing the minds of the saints. And he can use all kinds of situations. He can use demonic attacks. He can use your health. He can use your finances. He can use a whole range. He can use family and coworkers. He can use wars and rumors of wars. He can use all kinds of situations to impact you, to feel a mental fatigue and harass you, to deprive you of the sense of strength and courage. And here it's speaking prophetically. He will wear out the saints. And as we know, unfortunately, there will be a great falling away. But I'm here to tell you. Hallelujah. If he should, let's do 2 Corinthians first. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 and 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down what? Imaginations. How many of the perceived attacks, real or not, that you experience are imaginations? They experienced it back then, we're experiencing it now. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, mind, bringing into captivity, choice, every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. As you know, the helmet of salvation is what protects the head in the body of God, in the armor of God. The knowledge of your salvation is an anchoring point, knowing that God is going to do what He said He was going to do. Hallelujah. Verse 18 of the same chapter. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all the perseverance and supplication for all saints. And now my last verse. 2 Timothy, verse 1 and 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It is a promise. The spirit that God gave you is not one of fear. It is of power. It is of love. And a sound mind. The promise is yours. Your mind. The mind of Christ. Our mind. The mind of Christ. Will preserve us until that day. And there will be no wearing out of these saints. When the enemy comes like a flood, we will raise our banner. The name and the mind of Christ is all we need. The promise of your salvation is your helmet. Protect your mind and realize that the power and the choice is yours. The choice is yours. God is leaving so much of this up to us. He's not going to force you. But He's waiting. So yes, as we show the meekness and the willingness to sacrifice and to serve that Christ showed, displaying the mind of Christ, let us also realize that the soundness of mind will allow us to see through the attacks of the enemy, the consequences of our own previous past decisions, and all in between, so that we can soundly, with a clear mind and understanding, choose, obey, and do. If we can all stand. Hallelujah. The mind of Christ. I believe that as we go into the end time, your attacks will get worse. You will be harassed. It is a promise. Don't be discouraged by it. God already told you how it ends. It is your feelings that feel so real as a non-existent betrayal feels in the moment. God has not betrayed you. God has not forsaken you. He's given you the tool. Not the phone, but the Bible on it. I have like 15 Bible apps. 15 Bibles all in one. God has given you the tools. But He's counting on you. You see, I think God believes more in you than we sometimes believe in ourselves. Because we're the ones holding back. Hallelujah. This altar is open.